Good morning, everybody. It's the regular meeting of the Santa Clara Valley Water District Joint Water Resources Committee with the cities of Gilroy and Morgan Hill, January 3rd, 9 a.m. Welcome, everybody. Roll call, please.
Thank you, Chair. Councilmember Martinez Beltran and alternates Labreras and Borgioli absent. Councilmember Spring.
Here.
Thank you. Councilmember Bracco.
Here.
Director Santos.
Here.
Vice Chair Blakely.
Here.
And Chair Varela.
Here.
Thank you, Chair. We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Excellent. Okay, so time open for the public to speak on any item that's currently not on the agenda. Do we have anybody that wishes to address the board? Okay. Very good. So item 2.1, we're going to move that to our next board meeting of April 3rd. Because Valley Water has not yet formed our committees that we do, we're going to do that on the 9th of January. So we'll be able to come back here with our new board committee members at that point. We're going to have a new chair and vice chair that will also be appointed to Valley Water Board of Directors on the 9th as well. So just to let you know what our procedures are there. Any comments on that?
Chair, if I may, Sadiq. You and vice chair then will remain in place until then.
Until then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this will be
just for the right.
Essentially, that's yeah. Clear. And then if that changes at that time, okay.
And that doesn't affect the rules of this committee. That's
should
okay.
Not. No. Okay. Not at this point. Okay. Item approval of minutes 3.1 October 4, 2023 Joint Water Resource Committee meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved. I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. All approved. Anybody's opposed to that? Okay, so it's unanimous. Passes. All right, let's go to item 4.1. Receive the Water Supply Master Plan 2050 and South County Opportunities Update and provide feedback. We have a report today. Kirsten Struve.
Yep. Good morning, committee. My name is Kirsten Struve. I'm the Assistant Officer for the Water Supply Division, and I'll give you an overview of our ongoing efforts to update our Water Supply Master Plan. This plan is Valley Water's guiding document for future investment to secure our long-term water supply for the county. So why do we do long-range planning? We're facing an uncertain future with climate change and changing demand. Our infrastructure is aging, and information available for decision-making, including what climate change impacts to expect, is incomplete and imperfect. Yet we are in an era of generational opportunities for investment in water infrastructure and have to make immediate decisions on participating in some of these projects. Long-range planning through the Water Supply Master Plan will help Valley Water make these decisions in the face of an uncertain future. Our existing plan, the Water Supply Master Plan 2040, was adopted by the board in 2019. This planning cycle, we plan to update the planning goals. We will have a longer planning horizon, a wider range of values to evaluate projects, and a portfolio approach that recognizes the uncertain future conditions. Four goals are proposed to provide guidance on what we want to achieve with the Water Supply Master Plan 2050, which are ensure reliability and sustainability of the existing water supply system, diversify water supplies to meet the level of service goal, minimize the risk of shortage and disruption, and maintain affordable water rates through cost-effective water supply investments and management. The planning horizon is extended from 20 years to about 30 years, so to 2050. This longer time frame strikes a good balance between data availability and the uncertainty related to future conditions, and will enable the full benefits of large infrastructure investments to be captured, as they often take several decades to be fully implemented and functioning. A scenario planning approach will be used to look at four future conditions. These conditions are developed based on our projected water demand and imported water supply. Under each condition, portfolio analysis will be done to identify projects that would be needed to achieve water supply reliability. And this approach will help us identify common elements that would help us in all four futures, and an adaptive management approach that leaves us prepared for any of these possible futures. And if you want to interrupt for questions, it's totally fine.
Questions from anyone?
Right. Okay. Two demand projections are used for developing future conditions. These demand projections factor in growth based on ABAC household numbers, climate change, and post-drought rebound. The stable demand, which is just a straight line there on the bottom, is the low end, and it assumes that demands just stay flat at 2025 levels all the way through 2050. And the high demand assumes significant unmitigated impacts from growth and severe climate change. However, it is still within the realm of historical water use. Before the 2013 drought, our water use was at this level. And so both demands assume Valley Water achieves its long-term conservation goals as well. We're using two imported water scenarios, moderately impacted imports and severely impacted imports, which are from Department of Water Resources modeling. Both of these scenarios incorporate climate change, and then together with the two demand forecasts, they form the four proposed future conditions that will help us develop the plan. Under each of the four future conditions, water supply needs under baseline condition were assessed to understand what our future needs would be, basically, you know, demand and supplies, and then what is the gap. The baseline condition assumes no new investment, but it does assume completion of local dam seismic retrofits, achieving the long-term water conservation goals, and maintaining Valley Water assets.
Christine, I'd like to interject here. So under the complete dam seismic retrofits projects, we've had additional three dams, correct, that have been identified in our region that have to be retrofitted under the federal mandates and state mandates. So in addition to Anderson, there will be three other dams that we're going to have to address those demands from the federal government. So what you know.
Are any of them in South County?
No, they're all north of us.
So in that context, if I may, just the 30-year projection is a long time, right? The and all those additional requirements and projects come in, and as we know, just from Anderson Dam project, they cost a lot of money, right? Yes. And so how does that these demands work with your goal of affordable, maintaining affordable rights?
So that's a really excellent question. And the board is, we're now in the middle of our budget hearing process for 2024-25, and that's a major, major question that we're going to be faced with. How do we keep our rates at the lowest levels that we've had in many, many years? What costs, construction costs, our partners are, those that are actually contractors that are doing the work, when they're raising their costs, the cost of materials are going up. We live in inflationary times, and that's just the fact of it all. But to explain that to the public is challenging, because we're all being faced with increased costs. Look what PG&E has just announced. You know, we're going to be facing higher costs in electricity and gas, and we're going to do everything possible to maintain our rate structure as it has been, marginally increased. We were at 8% this last year. I think we're looking at maybe potentially going to 10.5. But that, again, is not written in stone. That's something that we're going to be looking at and discussing as we move forward on that. So it's a big deal. I mean, it's a huge issue. Now, with that, I have a question in reference to, I'm hearing different things about the exodus of people leaving Santa Clara County. We're still estimated to be approximately 2 million people, plus or minus. Do we have an update as to what the population base is in actuality? Do we know that? What the census is?
I said there's an increase.
Yeah,
So the people leaving the county are kind of accounted for by the lower water use we're currently seeing.
Right.
But since ABAC is our regional planning agency, we need to use their forecasts.
Right.
And we've also worked with all our retailers to make sure that we're all in alignment with what we think the future will hold. But yeah, that's why we also have the flat demand scenario, you know, as our lowest demand. That would mean that, you know, water demand has actually gone down even as population has gone up, so it's a reasonable assumption for our floor.
And here's one more thing that's interesting. We've done such a great job in the county of conserving that our revenue has diminished because of the conservation levels. So to offset those costs, we have to make these decisions as to, you know, what are the priorities going to be on our capital improvement projects, where are the dollars actually going to go, how are we going to prioritize that, and at the same time, keeping our water rates low as we're losing revenue because conservation is still very high on the state demand and also within the county from Valley Water as well, right, and with our water retailers. So it's a conundrum. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so my understanding is you're working through that as part of the budget cycle, right? Maybe in one of the next meeting, if you could come back and give us an update of what the outcome was of those discussions.
It's a process. This process goes down through April, the end of April.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, so by that time, we should have more information.
April or June timeframe, you might have more information.
Yeah, we'll have more information, sure. Yeah.
And the other, you know, conservation is the other one. I only can speak of Morgan Hill, where I know that our residents have done a great job conserving. We have this great utility by the city of Morgan Hill. I can check every day how much water I used and where I used it. And in our household, we conserved a lot, and I'm reaching the point, I don't know where else. I still have to shower and stuff like that. Where else can I conserve? I probably cannot conserve much, and that applies to many other people that have in our cities that have done a great job. So how do you factor that in your projections that we already, some of us might have reached the limit of how much we can conserve?
Yeah, that's definitely true. Our focus of most of our conservation programs is outdoor conservation, because we still do see in almost all the cities a higher water use during the summer than the winter. So we assume winter use is mostly indoor use and then summer use as the outdoor use. The average house in Santa Clara County uses, 50% of the water outside. And so that's where we focus. But you're right, there will be diminishing returns as more and more people, convert their lawns. We're also in the process of going to our Water Conservation Demand Management Committee with new water conservation goals for 2050. And those are definitely going to be challenging because we will have to focus on things like gray water and other things that haven't necessarily implemented to their fullest potential yet.
One other point I'd like to share is our landscape rebate program has been phenomenally successful. Residents can qualify for up to $3,000. Businesses, commercial and industrial, from $50,000 to $100,000 to convert non-essential green spaces into living spaces that don't require high levels of water use and better use of sprinkler systems and below ground, etc., drip systems as well. So we keep funding, the board keeps funding this because people are converting from those high use levels of water use in residential as well. So that's another good thing that we're doing for conservation.
Right, I understand, and I think that these programs are indeed great. I'm just wondering, when we talk about the next 26 years, right, where at some point your front yard and backyard is changed, you don't use water, you minimize what the water use in-house, what else will happen, right? And those are the big answers you have to work out, and I'd like to hear what those big answers are at some point, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of lawn to be converted in the county. Just some neighborhoods are doing better than others, obviously, and so we still see a lot of potential and ways to achieve our water conservation goal with the landscape rebate program. But yeah, as time progresses and we maybe set more aggressive goals for water conservation, we have to look at other things as well.
That's a good point. Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to say something, but go ahead.
Okay.
No, I wanted to thank Renee for the, use a formal title. Yeah, for the question, because I think what he was getting at is what we're all wondering, is knowing that there's all these major expenditures coming your way with these dams, right, the Anderson Dam that, for whatever reason, failed, right, and now has to be redone, and then these other ones that are now needing to meet state expectations. How is that going to translate to what we need to prepare our residents to know? And so we'll wait. I know you're working on that, and that's what you're going to do. So
that's a very interesting point. So let's take this to another level. So there's two water projects. There's a state water project and the federal water project that we are partners to. We're one of the only major water supplier in the state of California, of many, over 470 water managers in the state of California that actually get water from the state and water from the federal. And that's imported. And that water goes to San Luis Reservoir. It's piped down into our region. So those costs are controlled by the state of California and the federal government as to what we're going to pay to import that water. And we also store water in an area just south of Bakersfield, semi-tropic is what it's called. We import water during drought times, and we store water in that facility there, along with others. So we import a little more than 50% of our water from those resources, and also from the snowpack. So, and we pay more because we have to import it, and we have to store it, and then we have to pipe it down. So I just want you to be aware that there are other agencies that we get water from, and that includes the state and the federal government, so you be aware of that.
I think
a lot of moving parts.
I understand. We are. Yeah. I think we are aware of that. Yeah. I think even with us in the city, when we tell our, we just had to raise our water rates, and a lot of that has to do with what Valley Water has had to do. And so we have to pass that on. So a point well taken. Last thing I want to point out, though, is when we're talking about the summertime and the more watering outdoors, that is, you know, where we can, where recycled water helps. And so working on increasing recycled water is, yes, is a big part of that one.
Good.
For sure. And to address the question a little more fully that you had about, you know, the need for future investment. So here we're showing two of the four futures for illustration purposes, the best and the worst case. So the best case is the top and the worst case is at the bottom. Under all four futures, we will experience water shortages if we rely only on existing supplies and infrastructure, and that includes those dam upgrades. Our biggest challenge will be multiple year droughts, and the shortages will start as early as 2030. And with the semi-tropic that Chair Varela described in place, the average shortage over a 6-year drought in 2050 could range from 4,000 acre-feet per year to 76,000 acre-feet per year. And our contract with Semi-Tropic Groundwater Storage Bank currently ends in 2035, so it has to be renegotiated. So we're also showing without Semi-Tropic, and the shortages would get a lot worse, which underscores the importance of securing and diversifying our groundwater banking.
There's one other thing that we need to talk about on this imported water. Are you familiar with PFAS? Are you aware of what that represents? Polyfluorocarbon alkaline, something or other, which has infested much of our water sources coming from semi-tropic and other regions. So we can't take that water until they clean that water. So there's another cost involved in all of that as well. And that is created from all the agricultural pesticides, petroleum products, et cetera, throughout the Central Valley over the past millennium that has gone into the groundwater and used. So that's another issue that we look at and are faced with that have high costs to make sure that the water that we have is pure, clean, drinkable, potable water.
Okay. during a multiple-year drought in 2050, our current system can handle the first 2 years of drought, with shortage starting the third year, and these shortages are large and already account for meeting our drought calls as well as long-term conservation goals. And so there's a need for investing to secure the future. To address shortages, we will evaluate a variety of investments for the board to consider, including alternative supplies such as purified water, which is dependable during drought and provides water year-round, local and imported surface supply projects to increase reliability and resilience, storage projects, which will allow us to capture excess water supply in wet years to be used during drought years, and recharge ponds and pipelines to increase local supply. A total of 18 projects will be considered. There are 4 alternative water supply projects, 4 surface supply projects, 4 storage projects, and 6 recharge and pipeline projects. And the description of these projects is provided in your packet. The major projects evaluated in this plan will provide benefit in the county as a whole, as we're managing an interconnected water supply system. And we, as we already talked about, we also promote our conservation program and are developing those 2050 goals as part of this effort. Currently, 94% of South County supply is from groundwater and the remaining 6% from local surface and recycled water. The groundwater is actively managed with our recharge program, including using imported water for recharge. Several projects in South County are being evaluated, including Coyote Valley Recharge Pond, San Pedro Ponds Improvement Project, and agricultural land recharge, also called flood-managed aquifer recharge. If implemented, these projects could help improve water supply reliability for the South County and its agricultural community. All the projects will be evaluated using 14 criteria, including cost, benefit, feasibility, risk, and so on. Water supply benefit and cost will be used to filter projects, and the other criteria will help us compare projects with similar benefits. And the evaluation will start with individual projects and then move into portfolios. We are currently evaluating and developing these portfolios to test how they perform under each of our four futures, and we will bring a few example portfolios to our board next week to refine the analysis afterwards.
One more thing I'd like to add to this conversation. So one thing that we referenced, but we don't really spend a tremendous amount of time talking about, are the environmental impacts that are involved in the projects that we do, and the environmental agencies that we work with, both for flora and fauna, and species, wild species and fish. So we work with all these organizations as we present the various capital improvement projects that could have impacts one way or the other for our creeks and streams, our water supply network, our storage, etc. So they have their input into our projects, and we pay attention because these are creatures and animals that we are in our environment, so we have to respect that, and we do. So just to let you know that there's another piece that very seldom is spoken about, other than in the committees and meetings that we are in when we're talking about these projects moving forward. Environmental groups are very much a part of the conversations.
And then the development of the Water Supply Master Plan is a two-year effort. Last year we focused on the overall framework and project and portfolio analysis, and this year we will refine the analysis and make a recommendation, complete the plan for board adoption. And we've been doing stakeholder engagement throughout, presenting at various committees to environmental groups, and using our website and newsletters as well. With that, I'm open for any feedback or questions.
Yeah, if I may. The so sometimes this year, since we are in 2024, you hope to get the plan adopted, right, by your board. That's the 2050 plan. Mm-hmm. How often will you revise it? It's such a long period, right? And Anson Dam is a good example, right? What we thought it would cost 10 years ago is definitely not what's happening, right? And, and 30 years or 36 years, even longer, right? So how often do you update this plan? Is that part of the plan as well?
Yes, it's part of the plan. So we update it every 5 years for a full update, and then we have an annual monitoring and assessment program report to the board where we update specific items that need updating, like, if projects have changed, or... You know, 1 year we brought new demand projections, things like that. So we have an annual and an every 5 year process to update.
And I apologize if I have too many questions, but the other one really is, you know, those projects are mind boggling and they're so expensive, right? How can you adopt the plan without knowing how you're going to finance it over that period?
That is part of the analysis, what the cost of the projects is and the rate impact as we know it now. Obviously, we have to rely on information that is available, and that is the kind of thing that would be updated if there are updates. And we're also looking at, you know, what is the economic impact of not having water, because, you know, yes, water is expensive, but not having water is also expensive. So
But behind my question is obviously you will need help from federal level, state level, right?
Correct.
And I don't think they know themselves where they get the money from down that road.
Right? Yeah, I mean, our finance team has been doing, in the spring they did a 30-year projection, so that's a new practice as well. And cost is definitely a very important criteria for us to evaluate projects and portfolios.
So another part of this is political. So we work very closely with our federal and state electeds. We go to Washington twice a year. We go to Sacramento more often. And we meet with these folks and we listen. And they have budgets. All of these electeds have budgets that we work with. and we get our pound early on through. And then we have loans that we can apply for, very low-cost loans. And some of those loans from the federal government are even forgivable. So when we're talking about 20, 30-year-old loans, one of the projects that's currently very much in vogue is our Pacheco Reservoir project. So we've applied for WIFIA, Water Infrastructure Federal Government monies, to help us with that cost as well, as long as we have state monies that are available. But it's political, based on who is in the administration, depending on the budgets that are out there. So we deal with that as well. So we have close working relationships with our electeds, so that, you know, water is, and the infrastructure for water is very much in their scenario, in their picture, in their budgeting as well, that we work with. So.
Right, that's exactly why I'm asking.
Yes.
This is the hard part to predict, right? Because it can change every year, as we know.
Every 4 years it could change, or
even
2 years.
4 years, yes. Or 2 years. So how do you project that accurately in your own projections?
Well, no one can quite see the future, so we have to use the information we have. That's why we have the annual and every five-year update process, to make sure that it stays current and that we can advise the board. And the other point is that, you know, we pursue a lot of large infrastructure projects, you know, and water infrastructure projects, as Chair Varela said, they take a long time, they cost a lot of money, and they have a lot of regulatory agencies involved. So they may not all work out, and that's, you know, kind of the risk assessment, like which of these projects do we think will be the one that will actually make it.
Yeah. So in my day job, I work for a tech company that is doing a lot in AI. So is AI a topic for you as part of artificial intelligence, machine learning, as you start projecting, or you're not quite there yet?
No, we're not using AI for these projections. We're using our water, you know, infrastructure modeling, and then what we get from the state.
Thank you.
Any questions from the public? Any comments from the public at this point? Mr. Duh. Welcome, sir. Good to see you today.
So I'll be brief. The one thing I want to say is, the first time I was exposed to what I thought was a good futures plan was Plan Bay Area, where they did multiple future scenarios. And so I want to compliment the Water District on also giving you multiple possible futures and trying to figure out which projects work across which other things. The in the weeds comment I want to make, just because I haven't had the opportunity to show off recently, is when Chair Varela mentioned the projects, federal and state, that they buy water from, he neglected the fine point of, when you buy water, you have to actually get it into the canals, shipped to us. And one of the bottlenecks, especially during droughts when people are competing for, you know, extra water supplies, is you may be able to buy the water and there's no slot in the canals to get the water delivered to you. So it's a fascinating but somewhat scary process that I just felt I would pass on. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. By the way, you buy coffee next time we get together. Thank
Fair
you.
Enough.
All right, good. So anybody else? All right, thank you. Good report. Thank you. Yeah. Any questions? Any more questions from the board?
Yeah,
well,
thank
All
you.
Right, thank you very much, Kristen. Appreciate that. Item 4.2, receive South County Water Reuse Collaboration and Implementation Update and provide feedback. Good morning.
Turn that over to David.
Okay.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
David, how are you?
She came with electronics, I come with paper. So this is going to be a joint presentation. Chris Gioni will come up about halfway through and complete it. So this is really kind of our collaboration that we've been working on for the last couple of years. We have a technical work group where we get together periodically to discuss a number of issues. And today I want to talk about master planning. Just to give you a history of our collaboration, it goes back a long way. Actually, water recycling started in South County in 1978, far before it started anywhere else. So it was born here. In 92, of course, SQUAL was enacted, so you have a JPA. In 1998 is the first time the state came out with water recycling regulations. So you can see that we were before things really got off the ground. In 99, we had agreements between the various entities so that we could collaborate and promote recycling. And then in 2004, 2015, and in 2023, we've had these master planning processes where we've updated to see how can we best promote water recycling in South County. So this is really, it's a critical component of how we get water recycling expanded. As I said earlier, we had three different types of master plans. The first one was in 2004. Really, this is when we first went out and we looked, you know, what was the opportunities and the options that were there in South County. You know, where could we build infrastructure to maximize water reuse? And probably the biggest things that came out were we built actually a 3 million gallon storage tank here on Scrawl property to make water recycling a reality. And we also came back with a recommended capital improvement program of around $30 million. And this was a joint effort between Scrawl and Valley Water. In 2015, we did the same thing. We went out and surveyed what the potential uses were. You know, where could we build pipes and where could we fill in to hit those places where we could maximize water reuse? How could we best distribute it? We also looked at, hey, how can we get water reuse to Morgan Hill? So it was the first time we actually looked at what was the cost and what were the options in those opportunities. And one of the things that we really came out with in 2015 was we looked at constructing a southern alignment to the northern alignment, which is the original pipework that has been in South County. And what this did is it provided flexibility as well as redundancy to the system. So as the older system gets older and older, we have a new way to get water to where it needs to be. This time it came back with a recommended capital improvement program of $98 million, and about half of that was through Scrawl. And actually, we're envisioning it right now as Scrawl is updating its facilities. This is how we produce water for the future. So as the treatment plant is upgraded, it allows us to look at future opportunities to expand our water recycling. And then in 2023, what we did is we came in and we looked at a collaborative effort between Scrawl and the cities and ourselves to look at, hey, what happened in 2015 in the last 8 years, and how would it change our outlook on recycling? So it wasn't a full-blown master planning process, but what it did is it said, well, here's where we put new infrastructure. How does that impact what we thought we wanted to do 8 years ago? And how would it change it for the next 5 years? And what it did is it came back with a five-year short-term program looking at how Scrawl is completing its upgrades and what does that mean for expanding recycling in the future. And you can stop me anytime, because once I start talking, I just go. So really, the 2023, we wanted to integrate all of that infrastructure, and especially what we just built, because we just put in $20 million worth of pipe work. We wanted to look at what those opportunities and options were for the future, and we wanted to revise our capital investment strategy. And we also looked at what were the options for Morgan Hill. So we wanted to take another look at that. This just gives you an idea of what the system looked like before our most recent expansion. So this is the old system. It's actually put in two different zones. There are pumping structures associated with both. Just to give you an idea, it maximizes out at about 9 million gallons, but we don't use it now. There's pumping on both the north system and the south system. We typically recycle about 2,000 acre feet a year, but the majority of that is done just in the summertime. So you can look at it, it's a lopsided curve where we use a whole lot of water. In fact, as we use just about every drop that straw produces in the summertime at various times. And then it drops off as it rains because 40% of what we do is for agriculture. This gives you an updated distribution system. The area marked in yellow is the new expansion opportunities that we just completed. The circle actually indicates one critical section that we're working on right now, and it's this little L section with the 18 there. It's a critical component because what it does is it links the southern alignment to the northern alignment, and it allows us to maintain pressures and allows us to expand future opportunities. And we're dealing right now trying to get an easement through Green Valley Corporation, which is actually a Swenson conglomerate. And we hope to have that section completed sometime by summer. But as I said earlier, we will come back with in the report that we just released to both the cities as well as Sproul and ourselves shows or recommends a short-term capital improvement program. There's two sections that are critical to our infrastructure in the near term. One is this first circle. This one right here, I can point to it. There's a small section in here, and the way this southern system was expanded through the Glen Loma development was as the Glen Loma development expanded itself and it built more infrastructure, we upsized pipe through that development. So you could say it was developer-supported expansion. And there's one piece that's missing, and if you actually drive down Luchessa, you get to, I believe it's Miller, and you can look over, and you're looking at about 800 feet, and it's called Canyon Creek. And there is a development that's planned for Canyon Creek, but until that development is built, there's a small section that is missing there. And it's about 800 feet apart. And then the other critical component is the system needs storage. So our problem right now is we use every bit of water we can in the summertime, and if we had additional storage, we'd be able to use more. So we're looking at expanding storage in the future.
I'm going to ask you a question there. When you say we there, who's the we? Are you talking about Scraw?
No, it would be a joint. Well,
I'm just trying to understand. You've been using we interchangeably,
that's
and I just want to make sure I understand.
When I say we, it's Valley Water, since it's our system.
Okay, so Valley Water is
using... That doesn't mean that the we doesn't include others, especially the state and the feds. And we'll come back to that in a second, because one of the things that we're looking at now, and Chris will get to this, I'm going to steal Chris's thunder here, is we do have, we were lucky enough to get a planning grant for South County. That'll allow us to look at what are the options for the future and where do we get those monies. And until for you to get federal funds, you have to go through this planning process. So this is the first step, or putting that stone in the in the foundation so that we can look to federal funding in the future.
Okay.
And if we go back to the conveyance that we just built. Over $20 million worth of conveyance, we had $5.7 million of federal funding.
So that's on Valley Water?
Yes.
So what I was just trying to get at was when you refer to using every drop of water in the summer, do you mean that the Scraw plant is recycling in the summertime all of the water that it can?
Yes.
Is that what I thought?
Yes.
You were? Okay.
Yes.
So the Scraw, right. And in the winter when Scraw is not, it's because there's not a need for the water.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And I guess when I also say we, as Sproul expands its treatment processes, it's adding treatment that will allow us to have that water for future expansion. So we will be able to meet all of the needs for tertiary treated recycled water use, which is what we have now. And now I'm going to turn it over to Chris Gioni, and he'll have a discussion of what we've done for Morgan Hill.
Good morning, we should say good evening, good morning, board members. Chris Gioni, Public Services Director with the city. I think before I jump into it, I think the we is always important, and we always remind this, because Valley Water is us, right? So we, our residents pay us, we pay Valley Water, and they use that money to invest in things that we work with them on grants, as we'll talk about. So it is a we, and I appreciate Dave and the team at Valley Water working with us and making sure both cities are included as we work through things. So Dave is letting me talk about this section because this is important to Morgan Hill, very important. As he talked about the expansion of the reuse facilities down here at Scraw, we also have a focus on what are actually reuse options, not to just reuse Morgan Hill's water, because Morgan Hill's water is reused down here through Scraw and through the existing system, but how can we bring reused water to Morgan Hill? And so we have a plethora of plans that are preceding this planning work that we're working on now, but what we're trying to do is really evaluate what are the feasible options we have right now to bring water to Morgan Hill. So what we're looking at are the, you know, what is on the screen, direct potable reuse, non-potable reuse from the north in San Jose, purification for groundwater recharge, purification for surface water augmentation, recycled water from Scraw coming back to Morgan Hill, purification of Scraw's water for Morgan Hill groundwater recharge. So those are the options we've been looking at. All these options, as we look at them, we're really trying to look at the pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages, and costs, right, for each one. So as we complete this report and get it to this group as well as our individual organizations, costs are important, and so the options that we've been looking at are between 75 to 150 million in today's dollars. We're doing the conceptual level planning, so those cost estimates are conceptual based, and we're going to be looking at the benefits and limitations of all the options. We have looked at that. We're just getting ready to complete the report to get it to you all, as well as the new technologies and the new regulations that the state has that might provide us new opportunities for reuse water at Morgan Hill. So jumping over, that's the Morgan Hill portion that we're talking about. I don't know if there's any questions anyone had specifically before I keep moving on.
Well, my thank you, Chris. My question is kind of how to prioritize, and you will have to, right, based upon...
Yeah. Yeah, so the priorities we've been looking at, and you'll see it soon when the report comes out, is not just cost, but what is the, you know, feasibility. As Dave mentioned earlier, we have constraints, right? We're using every drop of water here at Scraw in the summer, so that's a constraint we have to look at. There are constraints on working with San Jose, right, for recycled water coming the other way from San Jose, so we have to look at all those components, which will be, you know, the cost, the engineering, the new rules and regulations, the political side of it when you're working with more entities. So we're going to be looking at all those things that really make up feasibility.
What's your definition of feasible?
Can it happen?
It's hypothetically, technically possible, or
it happens
if you don't get the financing, right?
Right, right. The costs are not feasibility, right? If we have a billion-dollar project, we're probably not going to be able to pay for it and find funds for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think priorities matter here, right?
Right.
And I don't know by when you're ready to.
I think we're close to ready now to share, right? We're thinking within the next couple months. David.
So we have a draft report that's out that can be reviewed by all of the agencies now, and we can take feedback and go back and revise that. That'll kind of serve as the jumping off point for this new planning process that we got $330,000. So we'll have technical support where we can actually go in and we can look at, I think there's 10 options just for Morgan Hill alone. But the idea is we have this resource in South County, and we know we use the majority of it during the summertime. There's a whole lot during the wintertime. So where is that best fit? You know, so what's the puzzle pieces that we can put together to put the best program forward that makes the most sense for all of South County? Then come back and say, from a feasibility perspective, and we have to define that, because cost is a very important component of that, as well as, you know, how much do you get for your dollar spent? And then we can come back and shop it for the political aspects of that. You know, what can we sell, you know, through our communities? And that's the basis of that feasibility study. We're guessing that'll take about 2 years.
So you know, I might add to that, so from the Board of Directors perspective, we look at the CIP projects in whole, but we do expeditious as we can on the projects and as cost effective as we can. So within the timeline that we're estimating and feasibility timelines that we're looking at, that is presented to the board to make those final decisions in our budget process. So that's another part of the question.
Yeah, you know, some, and cost is one factor, right? But the other one is the where's the highest benefit for the community, and that might not be the cheapest project, then, right?
Absolutely, and what might be the cheapest project might not have the water, the wastewater available for us to use, right?
Yeah. So, and you know me, I'm a common sense person. I try to be, and literally, I whenever we have rain, I see the water going down the drain, literally, right? Yeah. And I always wonder, there is the huge potential, right? If we just could make sure it doesn't end up in the ocean, but actually ends up somewhere where you would store it. And I'm still lacking the big answers, right? What are we doing when we have the rain, with all the water that literally goes down the drain right now?
Yeah, and we kind of separate from what we're talking about here, but the state's actually had grant funding, and we as Morgan Hill got some grant funding to turn an offline basin, online basin for water recharge, right? So keep more of that storm water and put it in the ground to save it. So that's something I know statewide is being looked at. I know Valley Water's looking at it.
I think there's huge potential.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's another area that we're working with the growers, the agriculture growers that have fallow land during the times of the great storms. They capture the water, stormwater capture, and process it into the groundwater as well. So that's another reference that, you know, we work very closely with the ag community in South County because they're a very important source. They use a large percentage of our water, but they also capture the water for this time of the year because they're not growing any crops, and it goes into our aquifers as well. So that's the other part of the equation on water storage and water availability.
Right. Question, you were talking about recycling from straw, that's 2,000 acre feet. How much of that is used for agriculture?
40%.
I mean, it's a high volume that they use for water.
So I know, I just need to make sure that I'm understanding correctly. Straw, every drop of intake every drop that Scraw has the potential to recycle is being recycled in the summer, correct? Right?
At certain times, yes, there's none left to be.
Right, exactly. So there's no more water to recycle or to, I mean, you could have different delivery systems for that same pool of water, but you're still limited to that pool of water. You don't have any more intake for that. I want to be sure I'm clear on that. So when we talk about in the wintertime, when there is water, or did you have a comment back on summer?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So in the winter, when we're not recycling because nobody is asking for the water, everybody's being watered, the agriculture, whatever agriculture is even growing in the winter, are you talking about adding storage for that water? Because I understand the delivery systems. I get that. I see. To me, these are two separate things. One is, where is the recycled water coming from? And the other is, how to deliver it. So which are we on?
I think there's going to be a combination in the master planning document that we're going to get out to everyone. It's going to be a combination, right? So how do you use the water that, if there's an option for using the Scraw water that's outside of the summer months, right? So is there a way to use that water differently, to store that water, to use that water in our system?
It would require storing it, correct?
Because correct, except in the most, with the very most recent kind of updates to the state regulations, so like the direct potable reuse type things where you could, you know, treat it at a level where it could become drinking water, which is all new stuff. That's stuff that's
way far. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Continue on.
All right. So just going up a summary of the dollars that we or Valley Water has received. So obviously the funding, the $5.7 million that's been used to expand the system, as Dave was talking about, that's just been recently completed and use of that money. So that federal money was received. But the exciting part that David mentioned is the planning dollars that Valley Waters received through a grant with support from the cities in applying for that grant. So that will help us look at the feasibility of these options that we're talking about and are going to be putting together in this plan. It'll take us to the next level. So that's an exciting point. Obviously, the storage priority at Scraw here is going to be a priority part of that component. All right, so with that feasibility study planning grant that Valley Waters received, we're looking at the pre-planning and feasibility, and what it will mean is hopefully that next round of funding that we can apply for in grants for actual improvements and new things. And as we talked about, we'd be looking at the feasibility of everything's on the table, so the non-potable reuse, the indirect potable reuse, and the direct potable reuse. The timing exactly of when the grant funds will be available and when we can start is still up, as Valley Water is working on completing that grant agreement, but the planning window, I believe, is 2 years once we have that going. And that concludes our presentation.
Chris, can you go back to the previous slide? And thank you for the translation of some of the terms that I was reading. It was like Chinese for me. So what is USBR?
Bureau of Acclimation.
Okay. And title, what is that, 16, funding?
That's the funding through the Bureau.
Okay. Which Bureau?
Bureau of Reclamation.
Oh, I see.
So the Bureau...
Be careful what you ask for.
The Bureau provides...
Well, I apologize. That, those terms
Sorry.
Are common terms for you, but
it's
not for me.
For me too.
We ask those same questions.
I ask Valley Water for the answers.
Title 16 is how the Bureau funds both water recycling and desalinization in the 11 Western states. So it's a specialized program just focused on water recycling, water reuse as a whole, because it's purification as well as desalinization.
It's a title under what code, though? What title?
Okay. I don't want to step there, because I'm not sure what code it's actually under.
Okay.
But I can find out, and I will get that to you. I'll send you an email.
Is it federal?
Yes,
it's federal code. Okay.
These are federal codes.
Yeah. So of course, probably for most of us, the most important thing other than financing is timing and schedule, right? When are we going to get insight into that other than just a line item here?
So right now, we have gotten actually two planning grants. We got one for South County and one for San Jose. The dollars need to come from Washington. They go to Denver first for distribution out to the various local area headquarters for USBR, which is Sacramento. Sacramento expects to get their funding sometime this month, and once they get the funding, they will start working on the grant agreement. In many ways, these grant agreements are pretty much standardized, so we expect that we would have the agreement approved probably within 3 months once we receive it. The board has already provided the our CEO the authority to negotiate and sign the agreement. So it's government to government. So it does it's a much quicker way to get it approved as compared to other contracts that we would have.
I mean, in general, we have the 2023 recycled South County Recycled Water Master Plan update that we're going to be sharing. Before we get through the whole feasibility process of 2 years, so that's going to be coming in the near future.
Okay, that line item here, timing and schedule, I'm looking at the screen behind you there. Does that refer to the planning, the grant timing and schedule?
We were talking about the timing of the grant funding that Valley Waters received, but the timing of the master plan update, as David mentioned, it's pretty much ready for us to start taking feedback to our existing organizations, and so we will have that too for review publicly shortly.
Okay, thank you.
So, didn't the governor just announce being able to take purified water into storage? Wasn't that just recently announced?
You said purified?
Yes.
The direct quantity?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that issue? Because that's just recently happened.
Yeah, and so that's what we're talking about when we say the DPR.
Well, I understand, but the statewide. So.
Yeah, so there's now a path forward to put recycled water into drinking water.
Correct. So we're one of the few water agencies in the state of California that has water purification facilities.
Yeah.
So Southern California, and us, and that's about it. So, and then DCEL, that's another question in another area entirely.
Correct.
But that's good news, so we all know, for water supply in the future. Anything else to add to the item?
Not for me.
Okay, great. Any public comments or questions from the public? Doug?
I know.
2 cups of coffee to go by.
A little cream on top?
Yes.
Doug Yearhead, Morgan Hill resident. I don't know whether to be hopeful or not about this alleged update to the report actually becoming available. I think back in October it was suggested it would be available in December. That didn't happen. It's now January, and now it's a couple of months. Maybe I hope someday it actually appears and I can read it, because I most likely will have one or two minor typo correction comments on it. I didn't hear when talking about Skraw producing more water for recycling any discussion of what the projections were for the flows into Skraw. And you had a previous agenda item where we were talking about high demand or stable demand, and that affects the flow. So, I would be curious about that. The item that Director Chair Varela just mentioned about direct potable reuse, the regulations are flowing through the state government approval process, and they have to go through the administrative office and some other stuff before you can begin to use them. I believe at the last Recycled Water Committee meeting, there was some comment that, Valley Water would be working on this stuff for one or more years to figure out how to implement it. The item I wanted to bring up, because technology keeps changing on us and we have these plans that, try and look into the future. Back in September, I received notice of a report from something called the California Water Institute at Fresno State, and they are developing and evaluating a new recharge technique. They call it shallow subsurface recharge, and basically you put pipes in the ground and put your water into those pipes, and it percolates down, and it solves two problems that we have with agricultural recharge. One is open water evaporates. And the second bigger problem is, and Chair Varela mentioned this with PFAS as well, is there's a lot of pollution on the top of the land. When you flood fields, that pushes that pollution down into your groundwater basin, which is not a good thing. So it's kind of exciting that there are other things to do, and I haven't heard this mentioned. Maybe it's just too new. It's not mentioned in the various no regrets packages of the Valley Water has produced over the years. So those are just a couple of random comments. Thank you.
You do a lot of reading. Thank you, Doug.
You better believe it.
Yeah, I know. Any other comments from the public? Any other questions from the board? Okay, that closes item 4.2. We accept the information. Moving on to the agenda 4.3, review and accept the Joint Water Resource Committee 2024 proposed work plan and confirm the next meeting dates. Okay, we can do that.
Do we want to talk about the timing exercise?
Who's giving that report? Do we have somebody giving that report?
I don't think there's a presentation, Chair, but we wanted to confirm with you if you all would like to meet at 8:30 or if you would like to wait until 9, whichever would work for everyone.
Well, that depends on the timeline of the previous meeting.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whether or not.
So if they
I don't have a problem with 9 o'clock. Is everybody else?
Since I have a day job, I would prefer
8:30?
Not having that a half hour break.
Okay. And, okay.
Or as soon as Rob or returns. After 8:30, right? If it takes longer.
Yes. So we can always start later. We can put a start time at 8:30, and we can always start later if the scrawl meeting goes later.
Yeah. That would be great for me.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Everybody agree with that?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so we have unanimous agreement on that item. And that's it on that?
So each of the meetings then is the first right after, right? April 3rd, the first in June, and then the first in October.
They'll all follow that timeline. Okay. That's the last item on the agenda. Clerk, would you clarify any committee requests?
Thank you, Chair. There's no formal action that was taken. Both under items 4.1 and 4.2, the committee noted the updates. There was one request for follow-up on the status of Valley Water's 24 to 25 budget per upcoming expenditures and possible effects on the water rates. And there was, under item 4.2, a confirmation of what code title recycled water funding is under that will be followed up on. And under 4.3, there was approval of the 8:30 start time for upcoming meetings.
Okay.
And 2.1 was deferred. You have that.
Yes.
Right, right.
Thank you.
Okay.
2.1 was deferred to
also
April.
A request on additional information on water conservation.
Yes.
And I don't know where it falls into, but I put it in here as an additional request, if I may. There's a lot of new laws coming down, and I definitely don't have the overview anymore. If we could maybe get a slide or two of what are the laws of the past couple of years that impact everything we discuss here, and what else is in the pipeline that we should keep an eye on as in the roles we have.
You got that memo on that? Okay.
That would be great. Thank you.
By way of introduction, I'd like to introduce our legal counsel from Valley Water. Carlos Arellanos is here today.
Oh, hello.
Good morning.
We do everything correct according to you? We're good?
Everything is great.
Okay. So with that, any final words from the board?
Nope.
Any comments from the public? We are adjourned to the next meeting at 9 a.m. or 8:30 on April 3rd, 2024.
All right.
Thank you all for attending.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.